You're listening to New Soundwave with your hosts, John DeLuna, J.D. Church, Rob Springer, Chris Triplett, and Brian Kilby.
Hey, podcast people, this is New Soundwave, the new Soundwave number two. Week number two of our video game exploration, our big video game experiment. So like we said during week one, New Soundwave is going to be primarily, almost totally video game talk. And what we're thinking about doing is, since all the guys and gals in the TF Radio Network are gamers from way back, and most of our knowledge, to be frank, is based on kind of like the video games that we grew up with, the 90s and the early aughts and all that stuff. Every week we're going to kind of give you some news and some of the more important things that have happened in video gaming in the week, but also devote most of the show to a nice meaty discussion on a big kind of meta topic, something kind of big that kind of spans different ages of video games. And it's kind of like a big topic, a big high level discussion, if you will. So first, let's kind of go through the news. And this week, there are kind of three things I kind of want to hit on. First of all, the Xbox Slim is selling like hotcakes, baby. And Microsoft is actually going to release their sales numbers at the end of the month. But they have said that they're exceptional. And at first, we thought there wasn't going to be an arcade version of this Xbox Slim. At first, everybody was expecting that kind of bottom entry level Xbox was going to cease to be. But it looks like we are going to get, for about $180-190, a slim arcade Xbox. And Rob, XV, Amy, I know Amy is a new Xbox owner, but does anybody have the arcade version of the Xbox 360, the entry level?
Go ahead, Rob. You'd probably be more interesting.
No, so I have the top of the line version of Xbox from 05 when it was first released. So I guess
the Elite.
No, pre-Elite. What'd they call it? They had like the basic version without a hard drive, which the precursor to the arcade, and then the version that costs like a car payment with the hard. It's like I'm a little mad at they are so cheap now, but with the hard drive, I got like the 12 gig hard drive. I've still got. Same one, no red ring yet. So, pro, nice. I think you're right, DevCon Pro version.
Nice. I'm surprised. So well, you're lucky that's lasted this long.
Yeah, no
really,
red ring yet.
That's really uncommon.
Well, I got the good one.
Yeah. You must have had the one that has like the super battery or whatever in it to make it go that long.
I have one hand delivered by Microsoft.
Ooh. So they like handmade it, right?
Well, it was a. I think everyone's heard the story, but I'll say it again. My mother wanted to get me an Xbox 360 for Christmas that year because she wanted to get me something I didn't already have. So she actually went to stay out in the overnight lines against my warning of, okay, Mom, that'll be fine. You can get me that for Christmas, but don't, you know, just pre-ordered or something. But she went and stayed those overnight lines and got robbed that same night for the 360 and stuff at gunpoint.
Man.
Yeah, and pretty much Microsoft and Best Buy and, like, the local news all gang together. And, like, Microsoft gave her an Xbox and completely redid everything that got stolen and had, like, Geek Squad deliver it to her house and all that. I remember coming over that night, like, she started calling me, like, at 1 in the morning when she got off work saying, I need to bring you this vacuum cleaner I got you for Christmas. I don't want no one to get your vacuum cleaner like they did your Xbox. So I'm going to make sure I bring – she kept saying vacuum cleaner. I was like, okay. And she gets to my game. She calls my phone. She's like – yeah, it's just me. I need to bring you this vacuum cleaner. It's just a vacuum cleaner. And she got to my house, and she brings up this vacuum where she basically put it all in the box and was like in super stealth mode sneaking it over to my house so it wouldn't get robbed again. By
Jeez.
Yeah.
She got a little paranoid there, huh?
Yeah, mine's the good karma version. That's why it's I'm sure it's still lasting. I say that, I'm going to boot up a new game. Oh, son of a bitch.
Yeah, you jinxed it. Yeah. Like, this is the last night.
Cross your fingers.
Yeah. So a quick follow-up to a story that JD talked about last week was the Real ID kind of initiative with Blizzard. Turns out it was a bad idea, and turns out they realized that. So turns out they're giving out a big never mind. So forget about having to like forcibly tell everybody your real identity on the Blizzard forums. And I guess this is kind of like a victory. This is a victory for common sense, basically. So
this is clearly a result of JD's in-depth expose on this last week.
Absolutely. His scathing remarks.
Either that or the 5 million guys who play as girls, the emails really hit hard. Like, you do not understand. This is my love life.
Yes. And clearly one of them was like a vice president at the company. Yeah. Yes.
Well, anytime you put someone's real name out public, come on.
This actually happened because of his review of it last week.
Yeah. He's a mover and shaker.
That's awesome.
He's a mover and shaker. FYI, JD's not on the show because he's closing on a house.
Yeah.
If that sounds familiar, it should, because, you know.
This is the house for you. Like,
yeah. Time's charm. and then the last tidbit of news. This is actually something that comes around once a year, and I personally am a huge fan of it. Evo 2010 was this past weekend in Las Vegas. Now, you may ask, what 2010? Well, sirs and madams, it is the world's premier fighting game championships, and it is awesome, especially if you like fighting games in any way. You probably already know about this, but if you don't, you definitely need to check it out. Just Google Evo 2010. You can find some of the best fights of the weekend in Super Street Fighter 4, Tekken 6, I think one other game that escapes me now. But those are
Smash
the big
Brothers.
Ones. Yeah, Super Smash Brothers. Such a nuanced fighter. it's all about skill. But the big, of course, every year, like the big premier game that everybody plays is whatever is the current Street Fighter game. And this year we had a repeat champion, a Japanese player named Daigo. And it was tremendous. They stream it live throughout the weekend, so you can check in and watch the fights as they happen. And you could think of it as like back in the day in the arcade when you were waiting to play and you had your quarter on the monitor. It's just like that. It's just like watching other people play, only this time with like professional commentary and in a crowd. So I highly recommend you guys check it out. And I have to ask the show, Rob and XV, I guess, in particularly, because Amy is just now getting back into video games. Are you guys big on fighters or other genres kind of your thing?
You know, I've enjoyed fighting games in the past. I haven't played a lot of them on the newer systems. I think the most recent I played was, as embarrassing as it will sound, one of the Dragon Ball Z fighting games. And the point I will eventually reach, if I don't cut myself off first, is that it's like a Sonic game. It seems to work better for me in strictly 2D, where you're not having to worry about left and right so much as front and back.
Rob, what about you?
You know, in the 90s, when I was a teenager, I was all about the fighting games. But at some point, I guess, toward the end of that, I just drifted away from it. Every once in a while, I'll play one, but it's not the same anymore. Street Fighter II, all the SNK games, what SNK game wasn't a fighter back then, and Mortal Kombat. Actually, I remember, was it World Heroes? I was on the bandwagon of hating it because I was like, yeah, it's a Street Fighter II clone. And I played it. It's not that bad.
Nice. You know, it's interesting that we've got like, it's interesting that you say, XV, that like the fighters that you're most comfortable or kind of the type that you have the clearest concept of are 2D. And that's kind of where like fighters have gone back. They've kind of gone back to like a 2.5D format where the characters are like rendered in 3D, but basically it's like back to like straight up 2D fighting. Right. After that kind of awkward phase where we had like,
I am walking around in circles for hours.
Yeah, yeah, you just literally like running around in circles and watching the camera go crazy. It's funny how we've kind of like, I wouldn't say regressed, but we've kind of gone back to our roots. And if you watch like this year's Evo, like say you haven't played games for like fighting games for 5 years, even 10 years, if you go and watch like this year's championships. For like, practically, it looks like exactly like the Street Fighter that you left behind. I mean, it's prettier, but it's a 2D game again.
I'm sorry, you can go this time, Rob. I took over first the last one.
Oh, that's okay. You guys know what I have to say the best 2D fighter of all time is? The Super Nintendo version of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Tournament Fighters.
Oh, that was a good one.
Yes, that needs more love than it gets. That was a great game.
Nice. I think Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, when you add it up, may have had like more excellent games than any other property of that type.
More than it had the right to.
Absolutely. Yeah, for a licensed property, it's inexplicable, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, when you think about like there are plenty of other properties that could have had a chance. I'm thinking of Power Rangers, and I can't think of any like game that was like well received with Power Rangers, which is kind of a shame because Power Rangers has been around. What was the anniversary? The big anniversary that came up, was it 20 years XV?
Yeah,
25 something. Yeah.
Close enough.
It's 20-ish. Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, when you think about it, they haven't had one good game.
And actually, fitting in with this little mini topic here, there was one game in Power Rangers I thought was actually pretty good, which was Mighty Morphin Power Rangers: The Fighting Edition. There was a Power Rangers fighting game.
Was that the Sega Genesis game?
Super Nintendo.
Oh, okay.
Although it might have been ported to Genesis too, I'm not sure. But,
I just remember that one fighting game they had for it.
Yeah, I mean, in my estimation, it's hard to screw up a 2D fighter. I know it can be done, but it takes some work to mess that up. So, I mean, any kind of game in any license, if you make a fighting game out of it, it's probably going to be at least decent.
That's true. It's certainly, that's true. And I think what got people into trouble again was like going back to like the 3D thing. Like a 2D fighter is very pure, and when you think about it, when two people are actually fighting, it's basically a 2D thing. Like even like in a real world like 3D environment, if you're fighting somebody, there's somebody right in front of you, and it becomes like this 2D or very linear fight. So a 2D fighter is actually, I think, more realistic and more intuitive, and so it is harder to mess up. When you start adding in like the third dimension, it kind of turns into a mess. Soul Calibur notwithstanding.
And I think what it is, I mean, once the 3D stuff came about and everybody was on that bandwagon, you know, of course they had to try to increase the dimension of the fighting game, but obviously they have figured out that it works best just in a straight line, and that's what we've gotten back to now. You know, they've learned from the 3D thing.
Yeah. It'll be interesting if we ever go back to it. Video games are interesting in that you can tell when like video game makers have a new trick that they can use, a new toy, and 3D was it for like 5 years, but we got a bunch of crappy games out of it, but people just used it because it was cool and different. And so now we're going back to the stuff that actually works.
It's a fair assessment.
Yeah. I don't know.
They've learned from their mistakes. Sorry.
It's one of the rare occasions where they learn from the mistake, I think.
Yes, that's true. Especially because I'm sure a lot of those like 3D games sold well enough, but I can't imagine like they were proud of them. So eventually, you saw kind of like a slide back to like doing stuff that they felt good about. Street Fighter's the Street Fighter and kind of the nostalgia kick that we see these days, where they go back to create kind of tried and true games. Is that I think that's probably kind of a return to, what they're proud of and what they like. So anyway, so that's the news, a little news talk for you. And like I said, the majority of the show, the majority of New Soundwave is going to be kind of spent delving into a nice meaty topic. And this week, it's basically Sega. And what the hell happened to Sega? I think 3D. Growing up, 3D, no more blast processors. When we were growing up, Sega... I think Sega was like what the cool kids like to say they played. It was kind of like the cool number two in the market, and it was viewed as, in a lot of ways, I would say better than Nintendo, if only for the fact that it was like the number two and not number one. Number two is always cooler. But look at it now. Sega's almost kind of left for dead. It's kind of dead to the video game world and dead to us. And so I kind of want to talk about, you know, what happened and kind of where do we feel that they lost their way and kind of what we thought about Sega then and kind of what we think about Sega now, or if we even think about Sega at all.
Yeah, you know, Rob, that Mario and Sonic at the Winter Olympics was just awesome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's like part of the problem. Hey, Rob, if you want to start the conversation, kind of what are your memories of Sega and kind of what do you think happened?
Well, you know, I first became aware of Sega with Star Trek on my Atari. That's when I first started seeing the name. But yeah, I know, let me see. But I was a kid. But
you're going way back on that, aren't you?
Yeah, I was at least six. But
you were a kid, and I wasn't even born yet.
Yeah, had to go through puberty at some point. XP, just wait up. But it's a subliminal XP's mom's joke. But you know, the Sega Genesis was definitely a slow burner because that thing came out in 1989 and moved absolutely no units. You know, the Master System was like successful overseas, but in America it was like, oh, you got a Sega. Oh, I'm sorry. But, you know, the Genesis, when Sonic hit, you know, it was really huge. I mean, we can all pretty much, I know John, we're like, he can remember too. And I was like, dude, you see that thing? He's fast. But
yeah,
I guess toward the end of the 16-bit era, that's when Sega really screwed the pooch, so to speak, because first off, the Sega CD, which could have been awesome because they could have used it as a giant ROM device, which would have made their games great, because toward the end of it, you know, those cartridges were crazy looking. Like the Virtual Racing one was like as large as an answering machine and it only had like one track. You know, they started doing all these shoving hardware into the cartridges to make these things work. And then, you know, of course, the Sega CD is like, hey, this could be, we could add so much to this. Nope. Grainy video and long load times. So people
Night Trap.
Exactly. And then it's like, okay, we're getting ready for a new system. What's it going to be? Well, how about you guys buy this 32X? Why? You guys just announced the Saturn's coming out in a few months.
32X. So it's like,
okay, I could buy. Yes. So let me explain by using a 32X with your Sega Genesis. First off, you had your Sega Genesis, either the 1 or 2, and your Sega CD, either the 1 or 2. The 1 being the one you put your Genesis on top of, and the 2 being the nice, convenient side one. So you had two systems daisy-chained together that needed each other to run and two AC adapters. And then they put out the 32X that needs another AC adapter to run and a cord to go to daisy-chain it to the Sega Genesis. So you now have three giant, and you guys know what those AC adapters look like. You find them in a wall socket where you can put all them in. Yeah, and don't say power strip. No one had them at that time. You know, people weren't buying them.
And you couldn't fit three of those power bricks on a power strip anyway.
Exactly. I mean, you had to like make this thing work. And then you're like, all right, let me play Doom. Why is the Super Nintendo version of Doom better? Why? Why? Now I am really angry. It's like you turn on that music. You know, you're waiting for that classic Doom noise. And it's like, you've been playing your Super Nintendo version. It's like, oh, great, 32X. I'm going to play Doom on 32X. This is going to be awesome. And also it's like, ding, 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 ding. What the hell is this? It's missing levels. I can't see anything. But, and then they had the gall, the actual gall to make 32X CD games, where now you needed the Sega CD to play a 32X game that was what? The same game that came out for the Sega CD.
And by the time the 32X came out, wasn't the Sega CD technically discontinued?
Exactly. So it was like, well, then I can get Sega CD for $20 at KB, and it's wrapped up with a bunch of games in yellow tape, but do I want to buy this? You know, the Sega CD, well, Sewer Shark and Sonic and maybe Eternal Champions, but I don't give a crap about this damn encyclopedia game. So they come out with the Sega Saturn, which is a great system. I mean, it had that cool ROM cartridge where you could actually beef up, RAM cartridge, you actually beef up the power of the system some. I believe Street Fighter Alpha or one of the fighting games actually came with one where you stick it up and it's like, hey, this game, you know, has better animation stuff because it's got more RAM. I mean, you could upgrade your system technically, and it was a great system. Here's the problem. No one bought it because this thing called the PlayStation came out and was cheaper. Like, literally, the announcement at E3 or whatever they were called, Electronics Expo at the time was, Sega Saturn was going to beat PlayStation to punch by saying Saturn's going to be on the shelves this week. They didn't have any games, but that was their announcement. We're going to put the Saturn on the shelves this week. People were like, oh, wow, games are coming next winter. And then PlayStation's, yeah. Sony's statement, they just say the price of the PlayStation. People are like, I'm going to wait. And, you know, that's pretty much happened. So Sega cancels the Saturn after about a year or two and then brings the Dreamcast up, which is a beautiful system, a great system. But no third party wants to make for it now because they basically lost all this revenue making games for the Saturn. And just like, what? Really? It doesn't work. They canceled it? Really? So Dreamcast had its chance, and everyone's like excited for Dreamcast. And they're like, hey, the Dreamcast is coming out. The PlayStation 2 comes out next year. You know what? F that Dreamcast.
And see, I think Rob has reached the point where things really went south for Sega, which is that Sony walked all over them, starting with the Saturn.
It's like bad business moves, and it didn't have. They made terrible business moves with a much better system at a lower price, right there under their nose.
Mm-hmm. That's drama.
Well, that's business, y'all.
Yeah, business 101. And you know, since then, they've become, I guess you want to say, a maker of games, games that are like, if you want to call them that. I can't figure out why Sega can't make a good game anymore. Is it because, I wonder if it's because they've lost their talent, they've just completely lost their mojo. But it seems like every year we get Sega promises a good Sonic game, and we all kind of like nod our heads and kind of roll our eyes because we know what's really going to happen. And I mean, can't make a good game to save their life, seemingly. At least like blockbuster Sonic or blue chip game. And I it just seems like it's kind of sad, but it just seems like they can't do anything well anymore.
Yeah, they're literally living off their characters, and that's it, really. When was the last time you saw a new Sega game?
Mario and Sonic at the Winter Olympics.
No, a new Sega game that didn't involve Sonic.
Oh, okay.
Or the Olympics.
Or someone you've seen before.
I'm sorry, that wasn't clear in the original question.
My mistake. Did you see what was the any inventive games from Sega since Dreamcast? Where's your typing of the dead, fool?
How was that game? Was that game any good?
I never played it. I heard it's pretty fun, though. I mean, it's a typing game.
Did you have Seaman?
Oh yes, Seaman.
Rob had to have that game just for the name.
Yeah,
Seaman. He's like, and he'd be like, Seaman. You have to tell him stuff. You're like, okay. And he'd be like, hey, Seaman, go to the left, and he'd go to the left. Man, look at Seaman go.
Oh man. Yeah, I mean, it seems like, you know, for a while, they could at least, like, hang their head on, like, innovative gaming. Like, the Virtua stuff, like Virtua Cop, Virtua Tennis, always had it. You know, they had their moments. Sonic, for a while, was pretty dependable. It just seems like, and it may stem from the fact that, like, secretly back in the back of their head, they still want to be a hardware company, and they still wish that they had a system of their own. But I mean, it's a shame. It's a shame that they can't do anything right anymore. And they have good properties. They have good properties that they can work with. But yes, every year they put out a bad Sonic game and a decent Olympic game with Mario in it. It's kind of weird.
You know, we touched on this briefly when we were talking about the fighting games. But you know, it's like every Sonic game, I guess, since like Sonic Adventure on the Dreamcast, has been viewed as basically a bad Sonic game. And I think what really needs to happen is to just go back to the 2D, which they are doing this year now.
Yeah,
but I mean, that's been the problem for most of the time, I think.
Yeah, people like the handheld Sonic games, the Sonic Rush and Sonic DS or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say,
the
format of the Sonic games is a lot like the fighting games. It's a real linear thing. What you want to do is go fast. You don't want to be exploring or having to avoid obstacles in the 3D sense.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree. And I think for the most part, the Sonic games still kind of hold up. I mean, they're still relatively entertaining. You know, they're a little dated, but not terribly so. There's certainly still like a nostalgia there when you play them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love buying their game compilations. It's like, I already have these games on several discs already in the cartridges, but you know what? I'll buy the next one for my next system. It's like, hey, I got the brand new game system. Yeah, I'm playing Blues Brothers on Master System.
Space Harrier.
Exactly.
Did you have a Master System, Rob?
No, that's like the only Sega system I haven't had as a Master System. I really wish I did, though, because that was great. The times I played it and on emulation and stuff, I was like, wow, it's almost like I was, you know, you brought up Sega, and it's like, imagine if Sega would have done what Nintendo did in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, it was a better system. There's no arguing that. It was technically better. You know, you had two alternatives for storage. You had the cheap floppy games or the cartridge games. I mean, it just, what was it missing? Yeah, plumber?
Basically, yeah. It's the software.
It was software missing the shrooms, man. Missing the shrooms.
It's like Alex Kidd is no Mario.
So true. But they did have 3D glasses.
Yes.
Look where that got him.
Yes, and they had Alf.
And they had Alf. But no Robbie the Robot.
Nope.
It's so sad. Yeah, it's actually kind of interesting when you think about the first two systems they had were technologically superior to the Nintendo system at the time. But I guess that's a lesson that hardware isn't everything. Hardware is hardly anything compared to software.
Well, look at every generation. It's not the strongest system that comes out in the winter. Yeah. Every time.
Right, yeah. Has the strongest system ever won?
Hmm? I think only when it was the only system out, like Odyssey. Like, literally, you know, 2600 was, or the VCS, whichever you want to call it, was, like, really lagging behind ColecoVision and Television. And then, you know, the Master System was a better system than the Nintendo, and it came in second and behind, you know, before Atari 7800. Super Nintendo came out, you know, in the 90s. I mean, there was the freaking Jaguar and 3DO out. No one cared. You know, every time, right? Yeah. I mean, look at it, really. The Wii's the big seller, and it's two GameCubes duct taped together with a remote control.
Pretty much.
Every time.
Yeah, and you bring up, like, the Jaguar. I saw the Jaguar once at a Sam's Club, and it was, like, $900. But
really?
That was, like, the one time I saw it.
Wow. I had no idea.
It was some insane. Yeah, it was some insane price. But the only game I ever remember for it, I'm sure there was only, like, five games that, like, actually came out for it, was, of course, Alien versus Predator.
Yes.
And that's it?
Yeah, it's, like, Alien versus Predator, Doom, of course. And then it's like, all right, this is a really expensive high-tech machine. This is like the biggest thing out there. What's on it? Tempest?
The controller like had a full keyboard, basically.
Yeah, it had the number pad that, you know, the 2600 had a little number pad additional controller. They decided to make it part of the joypad, which is like, hey, people don't like this anymore, Atari. Jack Tramiel, listen to me. People don't like this anymore.
Yeah, I mean,
well,
one thing you can say about video game development over the years is that most of it doesn't really make sense.
It's literally worse than
cool. No, that's what makes it fun, XV.
Well, no, I'm not saying it doesn't make it fun. It just, you know, it doesn't make sense.
No.
I like when the new systems are gearing up and predicting who's going to be the victor. It's like, I was literally like, no, Sony's not going to take it this time. No way. Yeah, it's like either Xbox or Nintendo. And go figure, hey, Nintendo's back. You're right on.
Yeah, and it's interesting if you look back like at the history, it's very rarely like a repeat champion. So it's almost like if history says anything, it's that the Wii 2 will not be the big system.
Yeah.
Well, okay, yeah. The PlayStation and the PlayStation 2 were two consecutive successful systems. So, I mean, it's not impossible that the next Wii would take the lead also.
I'll tell you why.
Okay.
The Wii's not going to come with a DVD player when no one has one.
And it won't be able to support Blu-ray.
Well, no one cares about the Blu-ray and for the PS3, but that PS2 DVD really broke off. Yeah, if a couple of years from, I mean, like, no one had really, barely anyone had a DVD player at the time. And it was like, wait a minute, I can watch movies on this thing.
Right.
If it wasn't for that, I don't know if it would have done better than the Xbox. And I'm going to say GameCube, because really third-party software makes these things. Mm-hmm. Ironically, with the Wii, big winning now.
True. Yeah. Well, you know, the Wii is a lot like Apple, I think, computers now, where like people have like this people are like so passionate about the Wii. And so the first party stuff, it's like almost like for every Wii owner, every Wii owner goes out and buys Mario Galaxy 2 or the next Zelda. And so they make so much money on like first party. I'll be surprised if they can. I'll be surprised how long they can keep that going. Like, I'm not sure how many generations they can keep that going. But right now, it's like when a Zelda game comes out or a Mario game comes out, every Wii owner buys it.
I own a Wii.
I haven't bought Mario Galaxy 2. I didn't even like the first one.
You know the casual game thing that's all the rage now? I really kind of saw this coming, because if you look at about 2004, 2003, after the last generation systems really came in force, it's like, what was the big game? DDR. Do you know what DDR is? Whack-a-mole with music.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, and then Guitar Hero. What was it? Not calamari crap. The game where you roll crap around.
Katamari Damacy.
Katamari.
Yeah. The big games of last generation was Whack-a-mole, roll crap up in a ball this big before the time runs out, and Guitar Hero came out. What's Guitar Hero? Green, green, red, red, yellow, yellow, green, green, red, red.
It's Simon.
And look at the majority of the popular software for the DS also. You know, it's little puzzle games.
Exactly. It's like, you know, people will say, well, the hardcore games. Shut up. People have done that. It's like, well, hardcore games, yeah, you know what? The same hardcore gamers have Sudoku, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, people are still supporting the in-depth gameplay, but the big sellers by far have got to be these little puzzle games and the stuff you can sit down for 30 minutes and have a complete session with.
Yeah, it's like, I guess Simple Fun is, Simple Fun's doing it. It's a stressful world right now. So I guess they're like, you know, I can't deal with this damn kingdom and rescuing it from the aliens right now. I just can't. Green, green, blue, blue, green, green, blue, blue. And I'm done for today.
You're so right, though. It's true.
Yeah.
It's the perfect summation of this whole thing.
You let the economy get better and people start prospering a little better, like toward the end of the 90s, toward, you know, beginning of 2000s. You let that happen here in a year or two, if that economy ever mystically comes back. you watch the difference. Watch the difference. I guarantee you the games will go back to big sweeping. The hardcore games come back still. Right now, people's like, and, you know, a lot of times gamers can't look outside their own shadow because they're in the basement. But it's like, hey, the world outside you plays these things too. And you know what? I just want to play some tennis. I don't have time for this crap.
Yeah, you know, that's another thing too. The favorite thing I've had to play on the Wii is the Wii Sports, which came free with the system from day one.
Mm-hmm. My son loves the Wii Sports.
It's the most fun game they have put out for the Wii.
It is.
Which is really sad.
Hey, as long as my kid is happy with it, hey, we'll play it till it dies.
I've had a ton of fun with my Wii and all the different games. I mean, of course, Eric Svino's had a ton of my Wii. That's how he's here. But
thanks, Dad.
You're welcome.
It took us a second.
I've had a ton of fun with the various games like No More Heroes and Mad World and stuff like that.
Cool. Yeah. It's a good system. It's got its moments. It's not just tennis and bowling, I guess. It's got its moments.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that Wii Play where you can actually fish and play pool.
Wii Play is fun. It's like, it's been a hard day. Let me make this cow jump. It moves every time.
So how is this relating to Sega again?
Business moves make a successful system.
It just is. It just is. But you know what? Hey, on that note, I want to thank you guys for talking. I want to thank you guys for the discussion. I want to thank everybody out there listening. Thank you for listening. Hey, XV, I believe you have a show. Do you want to throw in a quick plug for your show on the TF Radio Network?
That's right. I have superhero time with three other people who are not on any of our other shows. And we talk about Power Rangers and Super Sentai and all that spandex-wearing fun. And actually, just earlier tonight, the episode for this week was published. So go ahead and go check that out. We talk about one of our spandex series, Long Gone, that we enjoy quite a lot. So we had a good time with that.
Fantastic. We like spandex on this show. We believe in it. We endorse it
right now.
Absolutely.
I knew that was going
to
go.
At one time,
direction.
We actually used to wear it, right?
One time, right now.
Nice. And hey, everybody! Don't forget our mothership program, RFC, Outside the Cage for MMA, and the show you're listening to right now, Noon Soundwave.
There's also Fanboy Versus.
And Fanboy Versus, arguably the best show going on our network. So definitely check that out.
It's the one Kilby likes the best anyway.
Well, you know, hey, we play favorites
around.
Pretty
much if he talks it up, you know.
Yeah,
we're at the point where we have so many good shows we can't remember them all, people.
That's right.
That's why you got to go to tfradio.net and just kind of look around, peruse, and download everything twice.
Yes.
Like I said, that's all the time we have for this week. We'll see you next week. See ya.
Bye.
Kiss my ass.
Come in.
This has been New Soundwave with your hosts, John DeLuna, JD Church, Rob Springer, Chris Triplett, and Brian Kilby. New Soundwave is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Copyright 2010 Radio Free Cybertron.